You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth, avoid the evil, learn Yahweh's ways, Torah life, ministries, come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nissan.
Let us learn Yahweh's ways with Torah Life Ministries.
Hello everybody, this is Paul Nissan with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me on the show today. Torah Life Ministries is the name of the ministry that Yahweh, our wonderful creator, has blessed me with. And Torah means the instructions and guidelines of our wonderful creator. Many people often think that it's a Jewish term, but no, it's a biblical term. The first five books of the Bible is known as the Torah. And that's where all of the people in scripture, what they use as the foundation to understand and learn. And Yeshua and the Messiah, the one people call Jesus, is known as the living Torah because he was a perfect example of our guidelines, creators and instructions and guidelines of following it, living it, and teaching it. And the problem is in the church today, they teach people that we no longer need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our creator. And you hear that right now, and you might say that sounds crazy that they would say that, and you don't hear them saying that. But when they're telling you we no longer need to follow the commandments, or we're no longer under the law, or the Old Testament is done away with, essentially what they're telling you is we no longer need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our creator. And we know that's not true. It's not about salvation, folks. We're saved by the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, the one you call Jesus. That's the only way we're saved. We can't work our way to be saved. We're not to keep the guidelines and instructions to be saved. We're to keep the guidelines and instructions because we already are saved. Because Yeshua, who died for us, while we were on death row waiting to be killed, waiting for our death, he came and he took our place. And he set us free, giving us another chance to get it right. But when he released us, or when we were released, we got a book, a guideline to follow. That is the Bible. He said, if you follow this, you will be fine. If you love me, you will follow this. You know, so we're doing it, you know, as not only as a payback, but as wisdom, because wisdom speaks. And the one who set us free gave us the instructions of how to live our lives now. You see, if you are on death row and Yeshua set you free, and if you're the same person coming out of jail as you were going into jail, nothing has changed. There's no repentance there. Your heart is not turned. Your heart must turn. We have to understand what the Bible is, folks. The Bible is a book of opposites. You have good versus evil, life versus death, and blessings versus curses. Which ones do you want to choose for your life? We'll look at a scripture right now, and we're going to look at it in two different translations. But we're going to see something very interesting about this scripture. We're going to look at Psalms 119, specifically verses 1 and 2. So Psalms 119, verses 1 and 2. So first thing we're going to look at is in the Hebraic Roots version. This is a translation that I often use and I enjoy. And basically it says, blessed are the upright in the way who walk in the Torah of Yahweh. And to give you a better understanding of what that exactly is saying, we could look at the New Living Translation of Psalms 119, verse 1, which says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of Yahweh. You see, both verses are correct. One uses the word blessed, and one uses the word joyful. And but basically, they all both use the same concept of that you have to be following his instructions, walking in his instructions. So that's what it's telling us to do and what we should be doing. So blessed are the upright who walk in the instructions. And we have to get this. We have to really, really understand this. So walking in his instructions will protect us from things that will harm us. So when you're out of his instructions or not following his guidelines, it puts us in harm's way. There are things out there in this world that can come against us and harm us, and there are people. So, from a physical standpoint, following his guidelines and instructions will protect us from the people that want to do harm from us. And then on another level, on a spiritual level, it will completely protect us from evil spirits that in this whole unseen world and this battle that's going on between life and death within us, and the enemy or Satan or whatever you want to call him is trying to win. But no, Yahweh will prevail if we let him, and we let him by following his guidelines and instructions. That makes sense to you? We let him by following his guidelines and instructions. So as we read in Psalms 119:1, one translation used the word blessing, another translation used the word joy. We have to understand having joy is a blessing, and it's a blessing we only get when we follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. But we have to understand that Satan wants to steal that joy away from us. He wants to take it away from us. And he does this so often, and he tries to put in us a rebellious spirit to go against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, or a fearful spirit where we live in anxiety and we fear man more than we fear the world. With the rebellious spirit, it's a prideful spirit, and then a deceived spirit. You know, a deceived spirit makes us think we're happy, but we're really not happy. And even if we are happy, we have to understand there's a difference between happiness and joy. And the deceived spirit, might even make us feel a false sense of happiness. But happy is based on something that happens. So somebody from the outside is controlling that. Joy comes from the inside. See, people can change your happiness to unhappiness, but nobody can take away or change your joy except you. You're the one that's in control of that. So we need to stick to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and have a well-founded faith in the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And a person who is well-grounded into the Scripture and following these guidelines and instructions is going to make it so difficult for anyone, for man or even Satan or anyone to attack and come in and win a battle. No, the joy is ours and it's ours to lose. It's not something that we need to, you know, to fear, but just following and being obedient to our Creator and getting that blessing of experiencing that on a regular basis. So, but we do have to make sure we were equipped to fight the battle. We do have to make sure, and it's the battle to keep joy. That's what it's about. The battle to keep joy, and we have to make sure we're equipped to do it. And yes, knowing His guidelines and instructions is the way to do it. Too many people are not experiencing the wonderful joy of our Creator because they are not studying the Word. And they're not sticking to the Word. And then another part of it is, when we do read the Word, is getting a good, clear understanding of the Word and leaving no window open for the enemy to attack. You see, when we just read 119:1, Psalms 119:1, it's not one or the other. See, so many people are only getting half of the blessing, so they're joyful only half of the time. But when you read Psalms 119, verse 1, and in either translation, there's something that's missing. And if we think about this, so and the first one said, "Blessed are the upright in the way who walk in the Torah of Yahweh." And then the next one was in the NLT, it said, "Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of Yahweh." Now, if we just simply add the word "end," A-N-D, to those verses, then we will see we're only getting half of the blessing and how we can get the whole blessing. So it says, "Blessed are the upright in the way and who walk in the Torah of Yahweh." You understand, folks? It's not one or the other. It goes together. So you got to be upright in the way of Yahweh and walk in the way. Take an action and follow it through. Or if you want to call it joyful of people are of integrity. It doesn't end there. It says, and to follow the instructions of Yahweh. So it goes here together. We got to do both of those. And then we can go to Psalms 119, verse 2. And in the Hebraic Roots Bible, it says, "Blessed are those keeping his testimonials who seek him with the whole heart." You know, again, we have to add the word "end." And the NLT did a better job in this. But if we add the word "end," so blessed are those keeping the testimonials and who seek him with all their heart. See, in the NLT, it says, "Joyful are those who obey his law and search for him with all their hearts." So that word "end" takes it from being a half a thing, one or the other, to a whole thing. Now we got to do both of this. We got to keep his testimonials, obey his law, and we got to search for him with all our heart. Both of them, they're both so important. So with that in mind, I want to go to Psalms 1:1. And as we look in Psalms 1:1, we're going to look at the two different translations again, because they're both good translations, but we can learn from it by reading different translations. So Psalms 1:1 in the Hebraic Roots Bible will say, "Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, and has not stood in the way of the sinner, and has not sat in the seat of scorners." So it has the word end. So you see the importance of end. So you walk, you're not walking in the counsel of the wicked, not in the way of the sinner, and have not sat in the seat of scorners. So you're doing all three of these things, and you're avoiding the evil. Whether it's a human being or a spiritual being, you're avoiding it completely. Now the Psalms 1:1 in the NLT version changes it up a little, and I don't think they did it justice, because they give you a choice of one or the other. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers." You see, so they're making it one or the other, not both. So it should be "and," not "or." And then Psalms 1:2. We'll look at in both of the translations and explain this to you. Psalms 1:2 says, "But his delight is only in the Torah of Yahweh, and he meditates on his Torah day and night." Okay, so we've got and he meditates on day and night. And in the NLT it says, "But they delight in the law of Yahweh, meditating on it day and night." So we see Psalms 1 and Psalms 2, and we should have the word "end" between verse 1 and verse 2. So we need to, then it would read like this if we had, so it would be like, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in around with sinners, or join with mockers, and delight in only in his Torah, and meditate on his word day and night." So again, we add that word "end," not only within the verse, but between the verses 1 and 2. And it gives us the completeness of what we need to follow. Not just one thing or something, but all of it. It gives us and tells us and explains to us, all of us. So we need to, avoid evil. That's basically it. It's the joy that can be stolen that we already have by letting in something that shouldn't be there. And so we need to avoid listening to the negativity out there and people that discredit or ridicule Yeshua. We need to avoid them. We need to choose the people we spend our time with wisely, because it says right there in the scripture, "Who do not hang around the counsel of the wicked." So we need to choose our friends wisely, and the people we're closest with. We want to make sure they're not mocking Yahweh, and that also they consider what Yahweh considers important, that they consider important. See, the problem is we often quickly try to make an excuse or find a reason to hang out with people that aren't righteous. We say, "Oh, in the name of love," or we say, "Well, we're just teaching them," or we set an example. That's all great. You could show the example of Yeshua to your friends, family, and other people, but you have to understand the difference between being in fellowship with them and spending most of your time with them versus teaching them and letting them learn from you. So that's what we have to think about. Think about this. Do your friends you hang out with, do they build up your faith or do they tear it down? Because true friends are going to draw you closer to Yahweh, and not hinder your relationship with him. So when we think about that, who we're spending our time with and who we're letting around our time, how much is it affecting our joy, our walk with Yahweh, us from keeping the guideline, the instructions, our obedience? Let's break down Psalms 1:1 and see here when we answer this question. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. So are we seeking answers from people who don't understand the word, who are living in sin? Is that who we run to for advice? When the scripture tells us do not follow the advice of the wicked, then it says, "Oh, do not stand around with sinners." The people you spend most of your time with, do they desire to be obedient to the word, or are they practicing sin on a regular basis and justifying it being okay? So it's telling us who we are spending our time with. We try to justify it, turn away, so we don't have to deal with it, saying, "Oh, these are minor issues, my friend might sin, but it's not a major sin." No, you either fear Yahweh or you fear man. And people have no fear of sin today, and that means they have no fear of Yahweh today. And then it goes on to say, do not only not hang around sinners, but it says don't even join in with mockers. And there's a lot of people out there that are mocking our Creator, But even on a spiritual level, that's what the enemy does. The enemy mocks him. That's what he does. That's his job. That's how he steals our joy. He mocks him. So all of this stuff is not only referring to the physical world when we talk about who we're spending time with or who we're hanging out with. You know, it's also the spiritual world. Because we have to remember, we're a body, a soul, and a spirit. You know, and we tend to think the verse is only about the body, who we spend our time with. You know, but it can be on a spiritual level. It can also mean that as well. So no matter who we're spending our time with, you know, if the enemy is hanging around on a spiritual level, you know, we're not going to be able to have that joy. It's just not going to be there. So you know, we got to think. Now we got to think not only who we're hanging out with on a physical level, but are we letting Satan in? Are we hanging out with him? Or letting him hang around us? You see, it's easy when you can see somebody and hear somebody physically. But when they're there and you can't necessarily see them, you know, what are we going to do then? You know, this battle that's going on inside us, you know, for joy, the battle for joy that's going on in us. You know, Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." And this really wasn't about money. It's about being in the world and not in the world. You can't do both. It's one or the other. Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." The great thing is we have the choice. Do you want to give your joy and throw it away to Satan and all the and every negative person you know? Or do you want to keep that? We have the choice. Well, when we made the decision what we want, we have to be able to identify what's actually happening. Because like I said, we could see people, but we can't necessarily see the enemy there all the time when he comes to try to get inside us and steal that joy. You know, so there's so much in the Bible, and this is why it's so important to read the Word, to help us identify the demons that are out there that come and try to steal our joy. And the tricks that the enemy uses. You know, we need to be studying these words. We need to be studying so we can identify. So if we can identify, we can protect. If we can protect, we can keep. We can keep our joy. But often we fall into the trap of the enemy. And, you know, we just have such a lack of knowledge, not knowing enough, not studying enough, not. We just lose it because of our lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 says, "My people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge." We need the knowledge of our Creator. So I used to think, how can somebody have the set-apart Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and still live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator? It just can't be. Well, you know, I would now think that's now I see why that might is. Because first of all, the set-apart Spirit will never agree with unrighteousness. They just don't go hand in hand. So you say, well, if there's unrighteousness in our life, they must not have the set-apart Spirit. But no, that's not true because, you know, as much as we want to close the door and avoid any evil coming in or hanging around any negativity, they can coexist at the same time. The scriptures are clear on this and it shows this. If they can coexist in the heavens, why can't they coexist in us? So what I'm saying is we get this joy when we're filled with Yahweh, we're filled with the set-apart Spirit, we have this joy. And then here comes the enemy trying to find a crack open or a window open to steal it from us, to take it from us. And the only way he's going to get it is if we let him. Only when we let our guard down will he come in and have access and steal our joy. Remember, just because the Rahadat Kodesh, the Holy Spirit, will never, will never lead us or want us to live in sin and never accept it as being okay. You know, we need to keep on guard so the enemy doesn't come in and start messing with that. John 1:29 says, "The next day John saw Yeshua coming towards him saying, 'Look, the Lamb of Yahweh who takes away the sin of the world.'" So we have it. He's taken away that. You know, but the problem is Christians often think once that's taken away that they can't have sin anymore in their lives, that no evil can be part of them or anything like that. And I say, if that's the case, why are so many people out there depressed, oppressed, filled with disease, and have all types of evil things operating in our lives and consistently, repeatedly the same evil ways? because it's important to identify the enemy and know that they can coexist. You know, when Yeshua took our place on death row and died for us, you know, he gave us all the information we needed to keep our temple clean, to kick Satan out and keep him out. He gave us the information. He gave us the instructions to follow. And the more we follow that, the more successful we're going to be. When we let our guard down and we don't do that, that's when we are in trouble. We need to be on guard daily. We must never forget what Yeshua did for us. So emotionally, we can be tied into this. But daily, we always have to be watching. Always. We need to be in his word on a regular basis. We need to delight in his word. Spending time with him, reading it, and thinking about what we read. We need to stay in prayer on a regular basis. How many of you actually get down and pray on a regular basis? Every day. We need to be doing that. And, you know, and think about how much time you put into prayer versus how much time you could watch the whole, playoffs basketball game for an hour, but you can't pray for more than 5 minutes without having an issue or something or getting tired. You know, we got to know him, folks. We got to know him. The only way you can identify the enemy is if you know Yahweh on a personal level. And that's how you can kick Satan out, is by knowing Yahweh on a personal level. You know, and we have to think about the example Yeshua set in every area when it comes to this. We have to know Yeshua and live as Yeshua lived. You know, and just not letting any bitterness or unforgiveness or anything just take over, because that's what happens. You know, so, you know, we have to get this right, and the scriptures talk about all of this. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." So we have to be able to confess or repent if we want to experience that blessing that Yahweh has. You know, we confess our sins and we become doers of his word. Romans 2:13 says, "For many listening to the law doesn't make us right with Yahweh. It is obeying that makes us right in his sight." Obedience. James 1:23-25 says, "For if you listen to the word and do not obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfection, into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says in the scriptures and the commandments, and don't forget what you heard, then Yahweh will bless you tremendously for doing that." So, you know, here's what we need to get and believers need to understand. Being born again does not immune us from evil. So we need to get that. We need to understand that. Yeshua died for our sin as the ultimate sacrifice and rose again to give us power to defeat sin. But you know, we have the power to overcome evil, but we need to use the gifts that he gave us to do it. 1 John 2:14 says, "I have written to you who are Yahweh's children. Because you know the Father, I have written to you who are mature in the faith. Because you know Yeshua who existed from the beginning, I've written to you who are young in the faith, because you are not strong. Yahweh's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with every evil one." That's the attitude we need. That's what we need to be thinking about. 1 John 4:4 talks about it and says, "But you belong to Yahweh, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world." Powerful. So we need to utilize these gifts. We need to utilize who he was and what he gave us. You know, the gift of life means we can triumph over Satan and his warfare every single time. That's it. That's the blessing. We can always be victorious. You know, so the enemy will try to steal our joy. He'll try to take away our health and our peace. And he can only do that if we choose to let him. 1 John 3:8 says, "But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil." Destroy the works of the devil. That's That's what he did. That's why he's here, and that's what we can utilize within him. And we destroy him by not... the first step is not letting him in. Kick him out if he's there. And then not letting him back in. You know, so we must confess or submit to Yahweh. And we must do that. That's part of utilizing the gifts that he's given us. And it really comes down to repentance. You know, and true repentance is, a truly, truly, deeply, a godly sorrow for our sins that we commit, that we know we shouldn't be doing, that we know we're wrong. And only then, when we realize that, can we receive the cleansing and the blessing that comes along with knowing and loving Yahweh. So it's our responsibility to resist the devil. You know, Yahweh says he's coming. That's what his word says. He's coming. But we have to build ourselves up and be strong enough to resist him. You know, once we have repented, the enemy will not come and tempt us and to return, us to return to that sin. Once we repent and overcome that, our heart can be turned from that. And once our heart is turned from that, the more often that happens, the stronger we are and the more we're going to be able to keep him out. But we have to be consistent at that. We have to be consistent at repenting, you know, and we must learn to say no to our flesh, no to the enemy, no, no, no. We must learn to say no, you know, so... But we have to understand, before and after the repentance is this time of the spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare that's taking place. And that's what we need to understand. And, you know, it's addressed in Romans 7:22-7:23. It says, I love Yahweh's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Some people serve in many ways, and there are many unclean spirits. But the Bible says that you cannot... continually commit sin. You can't. If you do, then you become a slave to it. John 8:34 says, Yeshua replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we need to overcome that and rebuke that. And there are so many things that we struggle with in life today. That's the sins that people don't even look at. Addictions to certain things, pornography, obesity, alcohol, obsession, compulsive behavior, and anger and bitterness and hatred. All of these things are open doors for the enemy to come in. Open doors and stealing our joy when we have these things in our life. So, you know, you have to choose to get him out, kick him out, and keep him out, and not hang around him. Just like the scripture says, do not hang around the wicked. You know, Yeshua is our deliverer from the body of death, and he is our deliverer from sin and disease. And that's what we need to remember. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to steal captives, to set the captives free. And the good news is, in Psalm 61, it says, the spirit of Yahweh is upon me, for Yahweh has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn in the time of Yahweh's favor he's come, and with the day of Yahweh's anger against the enemies, to all who mourn in Israel, he will be a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of a mourning festival, praise instead of a despair. In their righteousness, they will be like the grass oaks that Yahweh has planted for his own glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for listening, everybody.
You've been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you'd like to learn more, please visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 561-283-1707. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33416. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Traveling through this world below.